Good afternoon. I call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect, it is 1:33 p.m. on Tuesday, May 5th, 2021. I believe it is May 4th, 2021. And with that, present in the room today are Representative Thompson, Representative Edgman, Vice Chair Ortiz, Co-Chair Foster, Representative Josephson, Representative Wool, and myself, Co-Chair Merrick. Today, we will hear an introduction of House Bill 70, the Capital Budget. Neil Steiniger, OMB Director, is here with us. Thank you for being with us today. He's here to present this bill. So if you would come forward, place yourself on the record, and begin your presentation.
Good afternoon. For the record, Neil Steiniger, Office of Management and Budget. Thank you for inviting me here to speak about the governor's capital budget proposal. So for just an overview, there are capital budget items across several appropriation vehicles introduced by the governor this year. We have HB 70, which is the governor's standard fiscal year 22 capital budget. HB 71, which is the mental health budget, inclusive of mental health capital items. We also have several vehicles with fiscal year 21 supplemental items. HB 70 includes some supplemental capital items, so they're items effective in fiscal year 21. HB 68 represents what we had labeled as the fast track supplemental items, and HB 84 represents regular supplemental items. You can see here the high-level totals. In total for fiscal year 2022, we have just shy of $1.5 billion in capital projects, of which $62.2 million were funded with unrestricted general funds. In the fiscal year 21 supplemental items, we have a little over $142 million in total funds, but an actual net reduction in fiscal year 21 unrestricted general fund spending, which is a little bit of a misnomer here. That reduction is really a repeal of prior year capital projects that were completed, you know, on time and under budget, and those monies are then deposited into the Alaska Capital Income Fund. That deposit shows up as a positive in the operating budget, so that negative is netted out with a positive in the operating budget and then shows up in the capital budget as spending from designated general funds, primarily on deferred maintenance.
Thank you, and let the record reflect, at 1:34 p.m. we were joined by Representatives Rasmussen, Johnson, and Lebon, please. Thank you, Mr. Steiniger.
So slide three, and I have a couple slides here to talk a little bit about deferred maintenance. As you'll see in the capital budget proposals that we've put forward, a fairly significant sum of money dedicated to deferred maintenance. The reason for that really is the significant deferred maintenance backlog that the state faces. You can see here, excluding the university, the state has a backlog of just shy of $600 million. When you add in university facilities, it would be about $2 billion in deferred maintenance backlog. The reason we've excluded them is, you know, they track their deferred maintenance separately, and also it just would not show the scale of the distribution here nearly as well to add a $1.4 billion column. But you can see primarily most of the deferred maintenance backlog exists at the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, and then Department of Administration, who manages a lot of the state's office buildings. And from there, you can see the agencies that have a greater number of facilities tend to have more of a backlog in deferred maintenance.
Mr. Steiniger, is there a breakdown for DOT on how much of it is facilities, as in buildings versus roads and bridges?
Through the chair, Representative Merrick, or Chair Merrick, yes, we can get you that information. What is, you know, horizontal versus vertical deferred maintenance, if you will?
Yes, but thank you.
So addressed in across several appropriation vehicles, we've allocated just shy of $65 million in proposed deferred maintenance spending. You can see about $13.4 million of that was put in as fast track supplemental items. The reason for that is in fiscal year 21, there was no appropriation for deferred maintenance expenditures in the capital budget passed last year. So just knowing that a supplemental vehicle wouldn't pass early in the session, we allocated most of the deferred maintenance proposals into fiscal year 22. But just being aware of, you know, certain projects that could be started whenever a supplemental vehicle is passed, we did include some amount in that fast track supplemental budget. And we also have broken it down between statewide deferred maintenance, those are general state buildings, public building fund deferred maintenance, which specifically is a certain class of state buildings, primarily office buildings, and then court facilities as they're managed separately.
Thank you. Let the record reflect. At 1:37 p.m., we were joined by Representative Carpenter. Thank you, Mr. Steiniger.
So slide five is a snapshot of the overall fiscal year 22 capital budget by department. And you can see here the distribution of that about $1.5 billion, primarily being in the Department of Transportation with the Surface Transportation Infrastructure Program. You can also see a larger dollar figure in the other funds column than normally you would see in a capital budget. The reason for this is that part of our proposal was to utilize bonding through the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation to fund the state match requirements of the Surface Transportation Infrastructure Program, the aviation or the airport improvement program, as well as the Village Safe Water program. So those are the areas with the most significant federal match on general fund dollar spending. And we chose to propose to use Alaska Housing Finance Corporation bonding in order to take advantage of low interest rates to meet a need of the state.
Representative Ortiz.
On either slide four or slide five is deferred maintenance for statewide schools within these numbers anywhere?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz. So one thing to note about this presentation is we didn't actually include any of the general obligation bond proposals. We included the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation bond proposals because those were in the governor's standard capital budget. The general obligation bond proposal put forward by the administration did address school major maintenance. However, that wasn't in our normal capital budget. So while it's not reflected here in these slides or numbers, we did have a separate proposal to address that need.
Representative Josephson.
Thank you, through the chair. Mr. Steininger, the three categories for the HFC bonding, you said you listed three items. The last was Village Safe Water. What were the first two?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, it was the Airport Improvement Program, the Surface Transportation Infrastructure Program, so the two main DOT capital programs.
Yep. And speaking of that, can you speak to what the STIP is? Because we often use that word, and I'm not sure if the viewers at home know what that means.
Thank you, Chair Merrick. The STIP, or the Surface Transportation Infrastructure Program, is the DOT program for highway construction. So that's building most of the roads throughout the state, or the DOT-owned roads throughout the state, and doing, you know, improvement projects on those roads. It has a 90-10 match, being that 10% is state funds and 90% is federal.
And can you say how projects are categorized or listed in priority on the STIP?
Chair Merrick, I'll give a kind of high level. I think, you know, DOT could give a lot more, you know, nuance to how that's done. They do have an annual process where they, you know, work through and rank projects and put them on the STIP on that list with cost estimates. Those are, you know, sent to the federal government, to the Federal Highways Administration, and that list is reviewed at that level. And, you know, much more detail on that process, I think, would be best to go to the department.
And I do believe we're having the department come later this week, so Thank you. Please continue.
So to get into a little more detail of the actual projects by department, you can see here on this slide list projects for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. There are a couple, you know, primarily projects that we put forward this year in the standard capital budget were standard projects that are in capital budgets generally annually. Things like community block grants, or National Petroleum Reserve Alaska Impact Grant Program are projects that are recurring every year, appear in most capital budgets, and generally have a fairly generous federal to state ratio. You can see in community block grants a very significant amount coming from the feds with very little match required. There's not as many opportunities for discretionary capital spending, so you'll see that most projects really do rely on that federal match with a handful of projects that don't. I'll try to highlight those ones that are new and not recurring as we go through these slides. So on this slide, really a new item, it would be item three, the Alaska Marijuana Control Board Enforcement Case Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office case management system needs replacement, and they're using 50% general fund and 50% receipts of the organization. There's also an item eight is the Alaska Travel Industry Association. There's a $5 million grant. One thing to note on these slides is we're reflecting here the proposal that was put forward in December and subsequent amendments. Some of these items, like the grant to ATIA, may be something that would be accomplished through the plans that we've been working to develop for use of federal relief. So that discussion around the American Rescue Plan relief and using it for tourism marketing, you may have some of these discretionary items that could fit within those things that weren't known at the time this budget was developed.
Representative Foster, Co-Chair Foster.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Regarding item number six, PCE, you've got $13 million for bulk fuel upgrades, and of course the PCE statutorily has the uses that it may be used for. You've got the waterfall. Originally it was intended to be used for just the power cost equalization fund. That's the energy assistance in rural Alaska. And then a few years ago we changed it to allow the PCE fund to be used for other things. The second item would be if there's money left over, then it can be used for community assistance. And then if you have extra money left over after that, then you can use it for renewable energy within AEA. And so bulk fuel upgrades, are you considering that to be part of the AEA's renewable energy, or is this outside of the scope of all three? What's your thinking on using PCE funds for this?
Yes, Chair Foster, the use of PCE funds for some of these AEA projects really was looking in the time period when this budget was put together and what we understood of the available amount of money in the CBR and available revenues to the state at that time, looking for fund sources to satisfy some of these needs that may be slightly outside of the statutory designation, but still fits within that concept of trying to move the needle on reducing power costs in the state. And so we felt, while it may not be a perfectly within those listed uses as you listed out, it still does fit to the intent of PCE. So that's why that fund source was chosen, just due to an unavailability of unrestricted general fund when this was being drafted.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please continue.
On slide seven, in the Department of Corrections, we have two new projects. One is for facility body scanners. This was a request put forward last year that wasn't accommodated within the capital budget when that was merged into the operating budget. This would allow for the installation of seven body scanners within correctional facilities. And then also the Port McKenzie Correctional Farm Produce Processing Plant. This will allow for them to use produce grown at Point McKenzie to be distributed to other prisons and used in the other prisons if they are able to process it there on site. In the Department of Environmental Conservation, you have four projects that are standard recurring projects within DEC, clean water, drinking water, and then the two components of the Village Safe Water Program.
Thank you.
Slide eight represents projects for the Department of Fish and Game. There are a couple of fisheries disasters, Pacific cod, as well as the 2018 sockeye salmon disaster. that are receiving federal receipts to address those fisheries disasters. Item three is for the Endangered Species Act. There's a combination here between both federal funds and a small amount of general fund match, as well as $750,000 of unrestricted general fund. So this is both for the state to do research for the possibility of species that may be considered for the Endangered Species Act, but also to do work funded by the federal government for, you know, dealing with species that have been placed on the Endangered Species Act. Items 8 and 9 here are the standard sport fish and wildlife management projects matched with Fish and Game Fund. And then we also, we have a couple of facility maintenance and improvement items here. Item 5 is the Copper River boat launch. And item 6 is coming from the Capital Income Fund, which we generally use for deferred maintenance. One thing here, this has been separated from the main deferred maintenance appropriation because that main deferred maintenance appropriation tends to focus on state facilities. And by giving a direct allocation to the Department of Fish and Game, they can use this to do maintenance on vessels and aircraft that often get left out of some of those discussions when you're talking about generally the vertical facility-based maintenance.
Please continue.
On page 9 in the Office of the Governor, item 1 is that main central allocation of money for deferred maintenance. It sits within the Office of the Governor so that we can prioritize projects across all state agencies. Every agency, or not every agency, but quite a few agencies have facilities, and so it's good to have this in a central spot so that we can make those prioritization decisions across different agencies and ensure that, you know, money is being placed to defer maintenance projects at the highest need of the state. Item 2 is a capital project for the Division of Elections to implement ballot measure 2. In the Department of Health and Social Services, we have several items that are not necessarily deferred maintenance, but needed work at some of the facilities ran by Health and Social Services, including the Ketchikan Pioneer Home and the Palmer Veterans and Pioneer Home. The item 3 here, the Health Information Exchange, this is a longstanding program often called the High Tech Program, but this represents actually the last year of this program, so this will be the last time this appears in a state capital budget. We also have on item 9, may look a little odd, it's a reappropriation of capital projects from the Office of the Governor to the Department of Health and Social Services. Several years back, several IT projects were appropriated to the Office of the Governor, but they were IT projects for other state agencies, and that we found, rather than providing additional management oversight, has actually just slowed the process of getting those projects implemented. And so we're reappropriating that authority to the departments that manage them.
Thank you. Please continue.
Page 10 is the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. You can see the item 2 is the mass notification system for Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. This is half 50-50 split with the feds, $2.5 million in general fund match, matching $2.5 million in federal receipts. There's also the Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson Digital Control Generator and Preventive Maintenance Program. This is to do much needed maintenance at that base. One thing to note, some of these maintenance items for DMVA are separately appropriated outside of that statewide group of money because the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs often is able to leverage federal receipts to do maintenance on their facilities.
Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. As far as projects on military bases, in this case, J-Bear, I guess at what point is it because there's a state facility on this base, or at what point does the state pay for stuff on a federal installation?
Through the chair, Representative Wool, because there is a shared state responsibility with the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, there are those facilities that they use as a state agency that are on the base, and there's that shared responsibility. You'll also see it in their operating budget, a shared responsibility for some of that maintenance. It can get a little complicated because some of that maintenance actually is completely paid for within the Department of Defense budget and doesn't flow through the state. So just sharing that facility on that base creates some complication in the way you see the maintenance. But in these cases, this represents the facilities that are our responsibility as a state, but have some shared costs with the feds.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please continue.
In the Department of Natural Resources, there is item one is a $4.5 million grant for a specialty agricultural crops. Items two and four are both mapping related. You have critical mineral mapping, which is now called Earth's MRI, but previously was often referred to as 3DEEP, and then also geological mapping for energy development. Both of these use general funds to leverage federal match. There's also a cooperative water resource program that is a pass-through for stream gauging projects. Item seven is land sales and development of new subdivisions. This is utilizing state land disposal income, so the money that we receive when state land is sold, a portion of that can be used to promote the sale and manage the sale of new state lands.
Thank you. Please continue.
Continuing with the Department of Natural Resources, there's a federal grant for national recreational trails that is primarily federal funded, but also uses some of the Parks Division receipts. Item 11 is building new electronic fee stations. Previous appropriations for building electronic fee stations has shown some successes in being able to generate fees without as much involvement by park staff. And there are two different purchases, the Kenai River Bookie Parcel purchase and the Eagle Rock Bookie Parcel improvements using EVOS funds, Exxon Valdez oil spill settlement funds. In the Department of Public Safety, similar to in Department of Fish and Game, separating out appropriations for maintenance of the vessels that they have in the Marine Fisheries Patrol improvements as some vessel maintenance. It's also funded by federal receipts. There's equipment replacement at the crime laboratory. This is necessary equipment to ensure that it is up to date and providing adequate evidence for cases. There are also some equipment replacement items for both wildlife troopers and state troopers to replace worn or outdated equipment used in the field.
Thank you. Please continue.
In the Department of Revenue, these nine items here all are through the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. These are a variety of housing-related programs, both rental relief and assistance, teacher and health housing, housing programs for seniors, as well as energy efficiency or various grants for different specific housing-related items.
Thank you. Please continue.
Item 14, another three Alaska Housing Finance Corporation related housing programs or energy efficiency programs as well. In the Department of Transportation, the third year of the Computerized Maintenance Management System, or CMMS, of $1.5 million in unrestricted general fund. This software system is what is used to actually categorize and rank maintenance of state facilities and informs that decision on the $49 million appropriation to the Office of the Governor for statewide deferred maintenance. We also have several way stations that need repair and replacement. as well as $15 million in our kind of normal annual costs of vessel overhaul for the Alaska Marine Highway System.
Representative Edgman.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I just want to flag a couple of things here, and I'm not, I don't want to belabor them, but on slide 13, the HFC Supplemental Housing Development Program, I've gotten concern registered that is underfunding the program in a sense that it's a program that the housing authorities and others are able to leverage very effectively. And so to fully fund that returns a considerable amount of work and effort to the housing authorities. And then the second one is number 10, the energy programs weatherization. We're not in a perfect world. We're challenged for money these days. But boy, if in an ideal world, that would be a lot higher because that's a program that returns a tremendous amount of value in terms of jobs, economic development, and 30-40% savings in homes across the state in terms of energy costs. So I just want to put that on the record for now. Thank you.
Representative Ortiz.
Just a follow-up for Representative Edgman on the weatherization program. Can you recall in years past what that funding level was at? Is that when we had more UGF available?
Through the co-chair, yeah. Back in 2008, 2009, we had $300 million in there. That's when oil was at 146, 147. And we got to where we're about, I'm going to guess, maybe 15% of the homes in the state weatherized. But in my region, our housing authority, tremendous, tremendous value. A lot of older homes out there. Local jobs, just tremendous value for the bang on the buck.
Representative Lebon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if I could go back to slide 12 with your indulgence on public safety in the budget subcommittee, we looked at a request for nearly $1.5 million for vehicles, radios, other safety equipment items that the subcommittee declined to fund in the operating budget. So is this to offset that action and this to put something in for those items? Is there connection to that action?
Through the chair, Representative Lebon, there's no connection to that action, but I would say there is a bit of a connection to that original proposal. So addressing how we manage the cost of replacement of worn out equipment for troopers and wildlife troopers, it is something that could be considered an ongoing operating cost. Here you see an amount of money that would allow them to kind of catch up with some needs. That proposal to add it into the base budget would have allowed them to just kind of bake it in as an annual operating cost.
Follow up.
So I guess if the subcommittee had approved $1.5 million, we wouldn't see $500,000 here today. You don't have to answer that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Please continue.
So I believe we were on to slide 15, which is a continuation of the Department of Transportation. Here you can see the airport improvement program that we discussed earlier, as well as the STIP. Items 6 and 8 are the federal receipts on that. The state match is represented on 9 and 10. You can see here those are listed as AHFC bonds. The use of AHFC bonding requires passage of a separate bill to authorize the issuance of those bonds. You can also see here we have a couple of other standard projects, such as the International Airport Systems project, as well as federal emergency projects and Federal Transit Administration grants. One thing to note on item 14, not reflected on this, is a late amendment we put forward yesterday that would raise that $10 million because that grant has increased in amount. Oh, to $30 million.
Thank you. Please continue.
Continuing on with Department of Transportation, there's a mental health coordinated transportation project that is annual reoccurring in the mental health budget. Item 18 is for the Anton Anderson Memorial Tunnel or M Portage Lake Tunnel capital improvement using toll receipts from that tunnel. And then there's also reappropriation of capital projects from DOA to DOT. These represent capital projects on public building fund buildings with the proposed shift of the public building fund management to DOT. We need to reassign some of those older capital projects that are not yet complete so they can be managed by Department of Transportation. And you also have one request from the court system for statewide deferred maintenance of court-owned facilities.
Representative Lebon.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm sorry to going back again here, just trying to keep up. On slide 13, it was my understanding, and correct me if there's another funding source or I'm just way off base, the Cold Climate Housing Research Center in Fairbanks is located near the University of Alaska. I thought there was money funded into that program, and I don't know if the funding source was AHFC, but that's what I recall hearing.
Through the chair, Representative Lebon, I believe at one point they received AHFC funding directly to the cold climate housing. I would have to get back to you with some more details on the funding history on that.
Follow up?
And maybe what I'm going by is more hearsay than fact, but I was left with the understanding that the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation dividend included a carve out for the Cold Climate Housing Research Center. So that's the basis of my question. So if you could help me with that, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, I can get back to you in writing.
Thank you. Please continue.
So moving on now to some of the fiscal year 2021 capital supplemental items. The table on slide 18 gives you the high-level view by department of supplemental capital requests. Again, the negative amounts are reappropriations of completed capital projects that were completed under budget, with those funds primarily going to the Alaska Capital Income Fund to support deferred maintenance projects. On these slides, what we're showing here are only outstanding supplemental capital projects that were not incorporated into the committee substitute of HB 69 that included quite a few of the governor's supplemental requests. So here we're highlighting the items that were not included in that committee substitute. In the court system, there is deferred maintenance of just over $1.5 million for court system buildings. In the Department of Fish and Game, there was $500,000 to cover facility vessel and aircraft maintenance, as well as $5.9 million for just general statewide deferred maintenance. As I mentioned earlier, you know, this amount is significantly less than was included in the fiscal year 2022 budget. That was just, you know, to account for the fact that we would only be able to deploy a small amount of the deferred maintenance money in the timing provided once the supplemental bill passes. However, there are some, you know, more urgent deferred maintenance needs or items that could be, you know, benefited by starting prior to July 1st. On slide 20 in the Department of Law, there's a $4 million capital project for prosecutor recruitment and housing. This is related to the increase in prosecutor positions in the fiscal year 22 budget to allow for advanced recruiting of those staff. In Military and Veterans Affairs, there were several items included in the fiscal year 21 budget request last session that were not included in HB 205 due to the truncated session last year. And so we've put those forward again as supplemental items. Most of them are maintenance related for DMVA facilities, such as the Bessel Readiness Center, the Kotzebue Readiness Center, statewide roof repairs. And then there's also a reappropriation from the department administration. This is for the Alaska Land Mobile Radio. There are some outstanding capital projects. That program has moved from DOA to DMVA. And so those projects just need to be trued up and moved over to where they're managed.
Thank you. Can you, regarding the Department of Law, give the justification for using higher ed funds for the prosecutor, housing, and recruitment?
Chair Merrick, when we put together the fast-track supplemental bill where this was included, one thing we were looking to do was to avoid using unrestricted general funds just to kind of help move it through the process, since there were several urgent needs in that budget. So in the interest of not using dwindling unrestricted general funds, or really CBR funds, especially because at the time we had a projection on the CBR of, you know, getting near the lowest possible balance that we'd like to see in that fund, we look to other funds that might have available balances to meet some of these needs. So we're not trying to draw any kind of connection between the purposes of the higher education fund and this need to address sexual assault. It just was an available fund source that could satisfy this need.
Thank you. Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I just a quick question. What's a readiness center?
Through the chair, Representative Wohl, in terms of it as a term of art, I might actually have to ask DMVA how that is different from their kind of what their different types of their facilities around the state, if that is a specific type of facility, aside from like a barracks or something else that they may have. But my understanding is that these are their facilities around the state for members of the Guard to, you know, convene for, you know, training or other activities. I just don't know if there's more meaning to that term of art or not.
Thank you. Please continue.
On slide 21, in Department of Natural Resources, there's a request for $3.25 million to assess landslide hazards. This is particularly to allow for advanced warning of events should a landslide occur and cause a tsunami. In Department of Revenue, there's a reappropriation of a prior year capital project. The reappropriated funds would be used for tax expertise and economic impact analysis of any tax proposals that may come forward. And in Department of Transportation, as I've mentioned earlier, there are reappropriations of unexpended balances on capital projects that came in under budget.
Thank you. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Mr. Steininger, going back up to your natural resources, Alaska landslide hazards, is that kind of an annual request and an annual appropriation that the state looks for, maybe from some different sources, but generally do we try to cover that potential, or is this something specific to something that's happened recently?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, this is a specific item. This isn't an annual reoccurring cost. And I'll have to apologize. The specific region, I'm failing to bring that name to my head. Sorry.
Thank you. Mr. Steininger.
And that is the conclusion of my slides.
Are there questions for OMB regarding the capital budget proposal? Seeing none, thank you for being with us today, Mr. Steininger, and we'll take a brief at ease.
I'm very intrigued, but we don't have the division lined up with the actuaries.
Okay. We just have time, so I just thought I'd ask.
It's very nice of you. I don't know what the rest of the calendar looks like.
Tomorrow we have DOT, so you could possibly go after that. Sorsha? we can do? Okay, maybe after, if DOT doesn't take that long, maybe we could try to schedule that. Okay. Huh, you guys are getting off easy.
Okay, I can come up with my banking bill and.
Maybe you can just give us a banking one for the day.
It would be the, you know, the opening summary.
Bill?
Or my line of credit bill or my.
Is that HB 85?
Yeah, I think it's being heard Thursday.
Thursday.
I could wait.
All right, we will hold the rating.
In anticipation.
And I see no further questions from the committee, so we will set House Bill 70 aside for today, and tomorrow we will continue this discussion with a presentation from Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. So this concludes our agenda for the afternoon. Our next meeting is tomorrow, Wednesday, May 5th at 9:30 a.m. And I just want to confirm that that's 9:30 and not 9 a.m. 9 a.m. Our next meeting is tomorrow, Wednesday, May 5th at 9 a.m., where we will hear House Bill 155, which is court system provide visitors and experts, and HB 110, which is age for nicotine e-cigarettes and tax e-cigarettes. So with nothing else to come before the committee, at 2:14 p.m., we are adjourned. Thank you.